Get ready to be transformed, inspired, and supremely blessed as you listen to the Word of God from Pastor AB. Prepare your hearts. You'd never remain the same again. God bless you as you listen.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Do you know, with each passing day, you get closer and closer to seeing Jesus? Are you in this place?
Yes, Pastor.
Do you know? With each passing day, every day brings you closer. I'm talking about the rapture. That would happen. But what if it doesn't happen in your time? You'll still meet Jesus. Every single person has a time span. There's a duration in which you should be on this earth. For some, it will be 70 years. For some, 50 years. For some, 10 years. But not you. All right? For some, 100. But every day, you're getting closer and closer to finishing that time. So it matters what you do every day. Do not postpone doing the right thing. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Every day, your spiritual development is important. Every day, your fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ is important. The world will try to distract you. Are you in this place? Do you know, if you spend a whole day watching movies or just visiting people, you almost not remember that Jesus is coming soon. It will not be in your consciousness. Why? Because the world is not fashioned to remind you of spiritual things. The world, naturally, is not working for your advantage. But as a Christian, the Bible says all things are working together for our good. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So in your life, be conscious of it. People who celebrate birthdays, someone says, my 40th, when I'm 40, I'm going to throw a big birthday bash. That's really nice. But you see, that means you've lived 40 years already. 40 years of your time on this earth has expired. You're getting closer and closer. Praise the Lord. You're getting closer and closer. And so every day be conscious. How am I living for Jesus? For some people, not here though, because nobody wants to die. It might be tomorrow. Today will be the last day they would see. And many of them don't know. But one of the reasons why we come to church is to remind ourselves that there is more to this world than meets the eye. One day, you will leave this world. One day, you will meet Jesus. And what matters is how you're living for him. Are you in this place? Let me ask you a question. Do you know people who were in this world and have gone? Are you in this place? Do you know people who were in this world but they've gone? They've gone. Some of them, their rooms are still there, but they've gone. And they're not coming back again. One day, you will go like that too. Someone will take your slippers. That person will take your cloth. But what will matter? Not those things, but what you did on the earth for the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
So quick exhortation this morning. Live every day for Jesus. You will not get today back. Time is one thing, but when you've spent, you will not get back the same way. So why not make every day valuable? All right, is that your laughter? Ha, ha, ha. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Some people will not laugh. What about what you do? Is that a year of laughter? Some will just smile. Like big people, rich people that they are. Is that a year of laughter? Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Jesus said, except ye be converted and become as children, you would not enter the kingdom of heaven. Are you listening to me?
Yes, Pastor.
Those at the back, are you listening to me? All right. He says, except to be converted and become as children. That means don't care. When the things of God are concerned, don't care. You say, you have laughter. You go, ha, ha, ha. Someone says, why are you laughing? All right. If I said bone, Everybody bone now, be angry, bone. You know you can easily do that. Have you noticed?
Yes.
Praise the Lord. Oh, yeah, bone. Let me see some people bone. Get angry. It's so easy. You don't need anything to cause it. You can easily do it. So you don't need anything to cause you to laugh. You can easily laugh. Are you saying it?
Yes, Pastor.
If you can easily bone, you can easily laugh. So when I say all this talk, it will bring you into a place where we can fly together. If I say it's a year of laughter, what are you laughing about? Favor. I'm so favored. What are you laughing about? I'm so blessed. Even now, all things are working together for my good. And some of you, you came in here, you have something you're thinking about for the week. Some things you have to settle. What if I told you it's been fixed already? Well, there are some people that do not shout. Why? Because that's how they are. All right. It's a month of growth. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
All right. You know, in life, we like the easy way out. Easy things. The easiest way of doing something. We all like it. If you're doing something and you take a lot of time, it takes time. You want the easiest way out. What's the shortcut? What's the short method? Do you remember there was a time when you bought your phone, you have to charge it for hours? Do you remember? You remember? They said, don't touch it. Just plug it in. If you don't have light, well, wait. But you have to charge for hours. I don't know if you did that. You had to charge your phone for hours. Can I see your hand? Well, I never did. The battery is the battery. And I used it. And then later on, they figured out that was not working. So they just, once you get the phone, just use it. Easier, faster. Everybody likes the easy way out. The shortest means. There was a time, do you know? There was a time, if you want to communicate with someone, you had to write a letter. Do you remember? You had to go to the post office with your stamp and then wait. The person might not get the letter. The person might get it and not respond. We had to wait. That was a long method. And then they brought a cell phone and they said, you know what? You can just send a text and the person will see it in real time. That's easier, isn't it? That's faster. That's better. So in life, we want the easiest way of doing things. Why should I remain in traffic for hours when I can take Okada? And then Lagos Bandit. Now you have to remain. Praise the Lord. Or buy your own bike. But that's easy. Everybody likes easy way. Why were people protesting when they banned the bikes? Because the bikes were the fastest and easiest way to get around Lagos. Are you in this place? So everybody likes the easy method. Some people want the easy way to blow. So they say, you can take my destiny, just give me money. There are people like that. The easiest way to succeed. So they go into fraud. They want to deceive someone, so they will make the money. Easy way. Well, for the most important thing, the thing that matters the most, your soul and your eternal future, there's an easy way to ensure it is secured. God sent Jesus to make things easy for us. That's what he did. There are people till today, they live their life trying to please God. All right? They are trying to please God. They are not sure. To them, God is just waiting for them to make a mistake. They're not even sure where they are going to. There are some Christians who are that way too, because they don't know what the gospel is all about. The gospel is God's easiest method of helping you. His easiest way. Listen, are you in this place? If I've been fixing this television for 10 years, you now fix it faster than someone who just started today? Do you know? Because with time, I've learned the easiest way. Someone who has been doing something for a very long time will know the easiest method. Are you in this place? That's why we say with age, there's wisdom. Because the older you get, the easier you can solve things. Are we together? You know the easiest method. God is called the Ancient of Days. If there's anybody who knows the easiest way to salvation, it is Him. And He says all you have to do is to believe that Jesus died for your sins. That He was buried. On the third day, He resurrected. And if you believe that gospel, He is not holding your sins against you anymore. Are you with me? You're listening to me, right? Someone asked, why did Jesus have to die? Why? Some people don't get it. Why? Why do you say His blood? What does His blood mean? What does it? Listen, let me tell you something. He had to die because the wages of sin is what? Death. Any man who sins should die. And all have sinned. So someone had to die for you. And that's why you have other religions, but there is no redeemer in that religion. They are just trying. They know they've done something wrong. Are you in this place? They say, if you do wrong things like this, and you do the right things like this, on that last day, if your good things are higher than the bad things, God will allow you to come to heaven. That doesn't make any sense. Why? Because if you did bad things, you should pay for those bad things. The good things you did doesn't negate the bad things you have done. Are you in this place? If someone killed someone, and then the next day helped another person, would helping that person bring that person back to life? No. Someone has to pay for the bad things that you have done. And that's why God sends Jesus. So every wrong thing that you have done, you will do, or you are doing, Jesus died for it. So instead of getting angry at you, He looks at Jesus. He remembers. And then He says, forgiveness is yours. So simple. All you have to do is to believe that, yes, someone died for me. It's so simple. The sin that I should have paid for, someone paid for me. The hell I should have gone to, someone went for me. When you believe that, He says you are saved. But after you have believed that, what is the certainty that you not do something wrong again? Then He made eternal life available. That life of righteousness. Are you seeing it? When you believe in Jesus, you receive that life. With that life, you can now walk on the earth in righteousness every day. That is God's plan. Jesus said, I am come that they might have life. He knew the life on the earth is not good enough. So He said, I brought another life. That when they have it, they'll live in righteousness. So the Christian has a new life. All the wrong things he did before, God doesn't count it against him anymore. That is God's easy way. Are you in this place? No more fasting and praying and punishing yourself to get God to like you. He liked you, and so He sent Jesus to help you. When you receive what He brought, you're a new person. And you know, receiving salvation is so simple. All you have to do is to say it. Are you in this place? To say it, to say, I believe Jesus died for me. And that is common sense. Are you in this place? If you're supposed to pay your school fees and you didn't have money, and I came, I paid the school fees for you. All right? I went to the person paying the school fees. But he said, are you a student? I said, no. But I want to pay for Femi. And the person said, oh, no. I can't accept it. I'm not sure she wants to pay for her. All right? I have the money. I can say, take. But she said, no, I have to be sure she's saying, she's agreeing that you are paying for her. So she needs Femi's consent. Are you seeing it?
Yes,
Jesus died for the world. Everybody. When you receive salvation, that means you're giving him consent. You're saying, yes, the hell he went to, he went for me. Until you give him consent, that's salvation. That is the gospel. Until you give him consent, until you agree that the punishment I should have suffered, someone did for me, you suffer it for yourself.
And that's why people die and they go to hell if they do not receive Jesus. But see how simple it is. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
When you get born again, things change. Everything changes. You might still look the same, but something has changed inside. And every Christian has received a spirit. So open your Bible now. Go to 1 Corinthians 2. Did you hear what I said? Did you understand what I said? 1 Corinthians 2. Are you there? You're there, say I'm there. It's a month of growth. And I'm going to talk about growing. All right? But let's get something. If you're there, say I'm there. If you're not there, say wait for me. Verse 12. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 12. If you're there, say I'm there. All right. Let's read it together. One to go. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. When you become born again, you've received a spirit. He says, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, for a reason. He says, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Oh, so first and foremost, once you get born again, God gives you some things free of charge. I'd like to know what those things are. Are you in this place? When you get born again, he says there are things that are freely given to you. But there are people who would not know those things. He says free of charge. He says that is what the Spirit of God helps you know. What you have. For example, wisdom has been granted you. That means you have wisdom. Free of charge. Wisdom to live life. Free of charge. What else? Health. Health has been given to you. No sickness in your body. Health, free of charge. Think about it. You have it. Health. It's been given to you. The anointing is yours. Grace is yours. Favor is yours. Free of charge. That has been given to you. But that's not what I want you to see. He says, now we have received not the spirit of the world. Oh, wait. So there's the spirit of the world. Are you seeing this thing? There's the spirit of the world. Remember when I started, I said, this world tends to distract you from the things of God. It is that spirit that is responsible. And you notice the spirit of the world is different from the spirit of God. And so there's a spirit in this world that distracts, that makes people forget. I mean, the guy could be happy, laughing. Do you understand? Moving from one level to another in his job, but he has forgotten that there's a spiritual realm. He's unconscious of it. He's no longer reminded of it. Even though everything seems to be going well, he's under the influence of the spirit of the world. And the Bible says, if any man is a friend of the world, he's an enemy of God. The spirit of the world. When you have received salvation and you are a Christian, one of the things you have to become conscious of is that you're not of this world. And it should show. There is no communion between you and the things of the world. He says, what communion had light with darkness? Don't get distracted. Don't get carried away. Don't say, this is my guy, he's a nice guy. But he's not born again. But you have forgotten. No. He says, there's a spirit of the world you should be conscious of. And ensure you're never under its influence as a Christian. That means you put away the wrong things from you. I have a question. Are you listening to me?
Yes, Pastor.
Is lying a sin?
Yes, Pastor.
Come on, talk to me. Is lying a sin?
Yes, Pastor.
How about small lie? What if you are lying for somebody? Not for you, not for you, but you are lying for somebody. Is it wrong? Come on, talk to me. Is it wrong? You're in class. Your friend did not come, but you write for the person. Write the person's name. Is that wrong? Come on, talk to me. Is that wrong? Those of us not answering. Every deafness, out in Jesus' name. Out. And dumbness too. Out. Now you can talk. Okay. If someone is not there, and then you're writing the person's name as though the person is there, is it wrong? Should you deceive people as a Christian? If you're selling rice, should you put stone under and then add the rice so that they will not know, you know, and you're cheating them? Is that right? Don't be under the influence of the spirit of the world. If you lie like the world, you will die like the world. But you're not of this world. You know, because you have to deal with this. You have Christians who just lie. You know, the people who just lie. Before they know they are lying, they have lied. Where are you? Oshodi. Where is he, Ikorodu? Is that a lie? Yes. When you're born again, there is something different about you. You should express this life. Are we together? Jesus never lied. He never stole. He never killed anybody. He didn't deceive anybody. That is the life you've been called to live. Because you're not of this world. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Salvation, receiving salvation is easy. Living out that life is easier. One of the first things you learn to do is always be conscious that everything you're seeing, there's a spirit behind it. Is it that the spirit of God or the spirit of the world? When you make up your mind, you are not going to be under the influence of the spirit of the world. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Yeah. If you are too busy learning more of God's word. Okay. Do you remember last Sunday we said that the word of God is a mirror. So when you look at the word, you're looking at the mirror. See your future. God wants people. Hey, listen to me now. This is so important. Can you hear me? See your future. No matter how messed up your life is right now, or how careless you've been right now, God's plan for you is that when people see you, they see the word of God. When they see you, they remember Jesus. When they see you, they see the glory of God. If you are too busy in life fulfilling that dream, you will not have time for the spirit of the world. If you're too busy with that. If you're too busy realizing that, hey, God wants me to know him. Not just what he can do, but to know him. And I'm going to spend my time learning, praying, studying, getting better. You will not have time to go and gossip. So that when they're asking what's in that book of the Bible, you will not be saying what's on your mind, what you don't know. But you know the word of God so well. Go to Hebrews 5. I was saying on Wednesday how that fornication is still a sin. Do you guys remember? As a Christian, you don't fornicate. Because we don't say it like that doesn't mean it is right. Hebrews 5, verse 12. Say,
I'm walking
with the Spirit of God.
And I have overcome.
Verse 5, verse 12. Are you there? If you're there, say, I'm there. If you're not there, say, wait for me. 5, verse 12. All right. There. It says, for the time. God is talking to you. Are you listening to me? For when for the time, they ought to be teachers.
So God's plan for every Christian is that one day they'll become what? Teachers. Not every time you're the one coming to church listening to pastor. One day God expects you to be teaching others also. Are you seeing it? It says, for when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principle of oral. Obviously, he's obsessed with these people. Are you noticing? He says, you have a Christian, has been a Christian for 5 years, still does not know the basics of Christianity. He says, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and I become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. He says, but they should be teachers, teachers of the word. You can come to church and you're just looking at yourself. I don't want to be a pastor. He didn't say pastor, he said teacher. That means there are people you should be teaching the word of God. This man of growth, be inspired to grow. Are we together? There are people that have an idea of the Bible. They want to teach, but they're not ready yet. No, he says for the time, you ought to be teachers. You should know the word of God enough to teach. One sign of growth is that you become responsible. Are we together? Yeah, you become responsible. And that's what people equate it with worrying. They say, should I not worry? See all the things that are happening. Why? Because they think they are responsible. It's true. As a Christian, if you're growing, you become responsible. You're not the one they're always calling to come to church. Now, you're the one calling other people to come to church. Remember, I told you, as the day goes by, you're getting closer and closer to Jesus. And he says, one of the things he wants to be by the time you reach him is that you're a teacher. You're a teacher. And to teach, you should grow. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Teacher, not critic. The people that are critics, they have an idea how the church should be, but they are not teaching anybody. They are just complaining. No. Look at you. No matter what you think about yourself, God thinks you can teach his word. That's his plan for you. Verse 13. He says, for everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. 14. But strong meat belongeth to them that are full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and what? Evil. Okay, that's common sense. When a baby is born, do you give the baby amala? 2 months old baby, you do pounded yam. Is that what you do? Why? Come on, why? It's not? There's something I'm looking for. There's a reason why you don't give the baby pounded yam. It's too hard. You're getting it, but there's one word I'm looking for. She just made everything very, very interesting. Say organic organ systems. Wow. I just want something simple. It's just one simple thing I'm looking for. It's not bone. Has no teeth. Have you tried it before? If you give the baby small meat, with the gum. Have you seen babies like that? Meat. But they wish they could chew it. And they pour it out, then put it back in. Fight or fate. No teeth. Right? He's using the analogy to talk to us about our spiritual growth. He's saying when you're still a baby, the only message you'll be hearing from the word of God is milk. God will help you. Amen. God will not leave you. Amen. This night, angels are with you. Amen. You need someone to tell you that. You see, the babe. But he says, there is strong meat. That means there are deeper things God wants to communicate with you. Are you seeing it? Deeper things. So how do I move from God talking to me? Abby, I am with you. I will help you. Don't worry. To more important things. How do I move? Look at verse 13. That's where the answer is. I'm going to teach you a bit. We're going to practice some things today. Then you go back. And then on Sunday, we'll finalize it before electricity.
13. He says, for everyone that useth milk, hold on. The milk he's talking about here, what is it? It's the word of God. Are you in this place? Listen, if you're not listening to me, this is the time to listen. I'm almost done. He says, for everyone that useth milk, what's the milk? The word of God. That means the word of God is given to you to use. Are we in this place? So God gives you the word that you can handle, the one that you can use. I will be with you. You can use that one. So if you're in darkness, you remember the word, I will be with you. You're using it and you're not afraid. You're using that word to chase fear. It says, for everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a what? Babe. That means if I can get you to be skillful in the word of righteousness, things will change. Are you in this place? If I can get you to learn how to use the word of righteousness, your life will change. Your understanding of the word of God will change. The way you live life as a Christian will change. It says skillful. It says use the word of righteousness. Okay. When he talks about using the word of righteousness, he gives an idea of the word of righteousness being a weapon. Are we together? Being a weapon. Knowing how to use the word as a weapon. Right? Then he tells us about the shield of faith and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. So how do I use the word? But even better, use the word of righteousness. Talking. That's all. Learning how to talk. Become skillful in the way you talk. Remember, he said something. He says, for he that offend not in word is matured. The way you talk. He says, once you're skillful in the word of righteousness, your communication of righteousness, you have grown. How do I learn? You know, if he says skillful, that means you can learn it. Right?
Yes, Pastor.
Anything that is a skill, you can learn. Someone says, I want to learn hairdressing. It's a skill. You can learn it. As a Christian, you can learn how to use the word of righteousness. You can learn it. How do I use the word of righteousness? Very simple. Have you ever woken up and you felt pain in your back? Has that happened to you before? Let me see your hand. Has happened to me before? In fact, I think recently, I think there's a way I slept. Now, I don't sleep gymnastics, okay? But I noticed this hand, I kept it somehow because I was on the phone, I was reading. And so when I woke up, you know, because it somehow, it became a bit painful. Are you in this place? All right. That means something has gone wrong. That pain you feel is a signal that something has gone wrong. It's a signal that something has gone wrong in your back. If you're skillful in the word of righteousness, that thing that has gone wrong, you'll make it right. You will not complain. You will know how to use your word to fix that thing. Instead of going, there's pain in my back, there's pain in my back. Remember, he says those things that are freely given to us by God. All right? Health is yours. Instead of saying, I have back pain. This thing is serious. He says you're a babe. You have not learned how to talk right or well. Are you saying it? He says, once you're skillful in the word of righteousness. So what should I say? When you feel the pain in the name of Jesus, healed. Health is mine. That's a matured man. That's one that has learned how to use his words right. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
If something is wrong, what is righteousness? Righteousness is right things. Are we together? Righteousness. Rightness. If something is wrong, I can make it right. If I'm skilled in the word of righteousness and something goes wrong, I can talk it back right. They came to Jesus. They could not see. Two blind men said, according to your faith, be it done to you. With his word, they began to see. Something was wrong with their eyes. Are we together?
Yes.
Something was wrong with their brain. Jesus, skilled in righteousness, spoke it back and it became right. He met a man in John chapter 5 that had not walked for a very long time. Something was wrong with his legs. Are you in this place? Something was wrong with his neural system. Jesus spoke its rights. Do you understand this thing? He said something, and that thing that was wrong became right. So, if I learn how to speak things that are wrong and make them right, I am skillful. Once you start doing that, when you study the Word of God, you begin to see things differently. Are we together? You begin to see things differently. Maybe at home, things are not going well. All right? Things are going wrong. He says, speak and make them right. The one who has grown would speak and make it right. Instead of complaining, in my house, nobody has a job, we are all suffering. You say, no, I've been speaking the word. The angels are working. Very soon, everybody will be employed. He says, skilled in the word of righteousness. So this is God's idea of growth for me. Learning how to speak right. Are you saying it? Speaking right to God is not in vocabulary. Do you understand? It's not in communicating right English. No, it's learning how to speak righteousness in that situation. It says, when you learn how to use your words like that, then you are mature. Who is that matured man? The one that is going, hit his leg, said, healed in the name of Jesus. That's a matured man. The one that he's going, they said, hey, 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 hey. Everybody has failed the course, said, not me. That's a matured man. Are you in this place? The one they say, everybody would have coronavirus. Say, what? Not me. No, the babe. Remember, there's a babe. People say, God, help us. Protect us as we are going out now. How do you want God to protect you? Say, God, protect us as we're going out now. No, the one who is killed in righteousness. Say, no sickness can touch me. Are you in this place?
Yes, Pastor.
That's a man that has grown. Let me tell you something, and then I'll close. Are you listening to me?
Yes, Pastor.
Jesus, thank you. Jesus, when he was a baby. You know Jesus was a baby?
Yes, Pastor.
All right. When he was a baby, Herod wanted to kill him. Okay? And God sent an angel to talk to Joseph to move them out of that place. Why? Because Jesus was a baby. So God needed to do something to help him. Are we together? When Jesus grew up and became a man, God was not sending angels to help him. In fact, after he was tempted and he had won, that was when the angels came. God did not need to send angels anymore. Jesus was now in charge. So when he woke up from sleep and they told him the boat was sinking, it wasn't God that sent an angel to wake him up from sleep. He knew that if this man wakes up and something is wrong, he can make it right. This was a matured man. That is God's plan for you. To move beyond always calling the pastor or saying it's spiritual, but you don't know what to do. He wants you to be skilled in the word of righteousness. God wants you to be in that office, and he knows that if something goes wrong, you'll make it right. He wants you. He planted earth. Do you know you are planted where you are? Do you know that? Like you are planted. Someone says, well, am I in Nigeria? God plant you here. Someone says, no, I reject it. You are still here. You are planted here. Jesus was talking about the parable of the tares. Do you remember? How that a man sowed seeds and then the enemy sowed tares. Oh, then he said the seeds are the children of the kingdom. So he sowed us here. Are we together? That means he kept you in that family. So if something goes wrong, you can make it right. Maybe your brother has a job. He's your elder brother. You are the youngest self. He has a job. He's the one who is taking care of everybody. And then he lost his job. You are planted there to make it right. He needs you to grow. Are we together? He needs you to grow. So much so that in every family, God has an ambassador there. Has an ambassador there. No more morning prayers of crying. Now, morning prayers of thanksgiving. You see yourself differently. You know what to do. Now, if I'm standing here and someone called me from home and says something is happening, I know what to do. Are we together? I know what to do. They say, your cousin, she's bleeding. In the name of Jesus, the bleeding stops. So is it just like that? Yes, just like that. Listen, just like that, God made the world. He said, let there be light, and there was light. Light did not say, just like that. You think I'll shine? I'm not shining. Just like that. Why is the devil trying to make you think it's not just like that? Because he's afraid. Because once you know it's just like that, Your mother lost money in the name of Jesus found. They've sacked him from the work in the name of Jesus getting a better one. Then the devil gets angry with you. Did you read that every time the king of Syria tried to attack Israel, Elisha would tell what's happening? Every time, until the king called his people and said, come, which one of you here is a spy? Because every time they made a plan, God planted a prophet there. Elisha, from his bedroom, will tell the king, this is what's going to happen. And then they will win. Someone said, no, sir, it's not any of us. There's one man. His name is Elisha. So when you become so relevant to your family, are we together? God's arm of righteousness, then the devil wants to play tricks. But see what happened. See what happened. When they came to arrest Elisha, they went blind. That righteousness still at work. Listen, God wants you to grow. He doesn't want when there's a problem in your family, they are going to someone that is wearing white in the bush or in the beach or they are drinking holy water. When you are there, it should not be. He planted you there. Why are you not in Imo State right now? Because God needs you in Lagos. He needs you here. Are we together? So says, I don't know. Why was I not born in President Trump's family? Okay, let me manage Queen Elizabeth. Why? Why this family is so much trouble? Listen, if the family has so much trouble, it means you have the ability to deal with it. Haven't you heard of people who came from really bad homes and they were the salvation in those homes? And that is God's plan for you. But he says for you to do that, you have to learn how to speak right. Are you saying it? Become trained in the way you talk. You come in, mommy said, there's no money in this. I say, in the name of Jesus, there's money. Say, bring it. And I say, wait, something is going to happen now. That is what God wants. That is your life. That is what God sees. That company, they say they're going to close it. Why? So. But you were planted there. You have to think beyond yourself. Say, am I the owner of the business? If they close it, I'll go somewhere else. No. Laban told Jacob, I have learned from experience that God has prospered me because of you. What was Jacob? A house boy. A sheep rearer. Are we together? Rearer. That was what he was doing. But Laban said, I noticed by experience, anytime you're with this sheep, it grows. That is God's plan for you. In that company, he planted you to make things right. In that home, he planted you to make things right. You talk things right. Growth is so important. Focus on it. You might be here right now, and I've closed. And things are not going so well at home. You're looking for someone God will send to help. Listen, there are some of you, you will get help. There are some of you, you are the help. All God is saying is learn to talk right now. When everybody is saying things are bad, he needs someone to say things are good to make things good, and that's you. Are you saying it? When everybody is complaining that things are not going well, we are not selling, God is looking for someone that can just talk right, that he can use that word and make things work. The angels need someone to just talk right, and that's you. I told you guys, when Jesus resurrected and the women went to the tomb, the angels reminded them. They told them, say, don't you remember why he was with you? He told you he'll be killed, buried, and resurrected. Oh, so when Jesus was talking to people, the angels were what? Listening. And it was the angel that rolled the stone away for Jesus to come out. So while he was talking, they knew they had a job to do. Are you seeing it? They knew, once they saw him killed, they know in 3 days we have to move that stone. Why? Because they heard him saying something. So if everybody in your house is saying the wrong thing, God needs someone that will talk right, so the angels can use that word and make things right. They say, I don't know. That man is just a limitation. It's a problem in our family. It's a problem. You come and say there's no limitation. That same angel that rolled the stone away will move that limitation away. But you have to learn to talk right. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Say, I and my family
are for signs and wonders.
No sickness.
No lack.
But we are moving from glory to glory. Growing in our finances. Growing in our fellowship with the Lord. Growing in strength. There is none sick
or weakly
amongst us, but only prosperity and victory in the name of Jesus. Go ahead and speak in other tongues.